Hi there. Thought I would bring another short message or devotional from Psalm 3 today. So Psalm 3, let's begin reading there. And you'll notice that it begins with an introduction. A Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Verse 1. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, Selah. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people, Selah. Anyway, this is a pretty amazing psalm here, as all of them are, of course. But in this psalm, we start to see a couple of new things. Okay, first of all, this is the first time we actually see the word psalm in Scripture. And psalm comes from a Hebrew word that basically has to do with pruning, like pruning a tree or a plant or something like that, cutting off superfluous twigs, in other words. So a psalm, by definition, is something that's kind of short, kind of concise, kind of gets to the point, gets rid of extra words and so forth like that. Okay, so it doesn't have a lot of extra speech or extra language in it. And then you're also going to see something new here as well. This is the first time in Scripture that we see the word Selah, S-E-L-A-H, and you'll see it after verse 2 and after verse 4 and then at the very end of the psalm as well. But that's a word that there's a little controversy or discussion about exactly what that means. Some people think it's a note to the musician, since this is a psalm, and they would sing these a lot of times, but basically to make the music loud, a kind of crescendo type a note, if you will, to the musician. So that's one thought behind that. Other people tend to think it means to lift up. So to lift up your voice, to stop and to think, and that sort of thing, to emphasize this again. What do you think about what I just said? That's kind of the idea behind Selah. Okay, and I kind of think of it as sometimes when I'm typing something, I will highlight it, and then I will click make it bold, italicize it, maybe make it a larger font, do something like that to kind of make it stand out in my note. In fact, even here I've got notes, and I've got some where I've highlighted things, underlined things, and this kind of that same idea here. I believe that David is saying, hey, stop and think about what I just said. What I just said was important, in other words. Okay, so that's Psalm 3, a little introduction there to it. As far as the background goes, the note at the beginning clues us into the background of this particular psalm, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom. So to really fully understand that background, you kind of have to go over and in particular read in the book of 2 Samuel up through about the first 17 chapters. In particular, it gives you kind of the background, what led up to Absalom fleeing and so forth, or causing David to flee and Absalom trying to take over. Anyway, so it's fascinating. I could spend easily 30 or 40 minutes just talking about some of the failures of David and all, and I'll hit a couple of those in a minute, very briefly, of course. Okay. So I tend to be a propositional preacher. A proposition is kind of your big idea in writing. A lot of times you have a thesis statement or something like that. So it's kind of my big idea, the main point that I believe that this psalm is talking about. And let me give that to you right now. I believe this psalm, Psalm 3, is teaching us that we can triumph in trials if we have a testimony, or in other words, a relationship with God, and then we trust our God, the one that we have the testimony with. Okay, so my outline is pretty simple, and in fact I wrote in the margin of my Bible by verse 1, trouble or trial. By verse 3 I wrote trust. By verse 4 I wrote the word testimony, and verse 5 is triumph. So I think verses 5 through the end, or verse 8, all have to do with his triumphing in this time of trials and troubles. So in verses 1 and 2, trial, David's trial here, we see that David is a fugitive, if you will, in his own country. David, his son Absalom, has rose up, tried to take over the kingdom, and David is fleeing for his life. David, there's so much in the background that I don't have time to go into here today, but the deal, most of you probably will be familiar with Bathsheba, that situation, and how David had Uriah killed. The prophet Nathan came and tells him a story, and David gets upset. And then Nathan says, "You are the man." And David is like, "Whoa." And David repented of what he had done. And Nathan told him specifically, "God has heard you, and your sins are forgiven." And so I believe that leads over into a little bit later where we talk about his testimony, his relationship with God. But David has a lot of failures. And then that kind of led over into some other things where Amnon rapes Tamar and David doesn't do much about it. Absalom winds up murdering Amnon, and that whole debacle, if you will, there. And I just feel like David, it was a dysfunctional family in some ways, personally. And I hope that's not being too judgmental, but no family is perfect, and no dad is certainly perfect. I'm certainly not perfect, and I don't mean to imply that at all. But the trial here, David winds up essentially losing basically everything. He loses here his family. He loses his son Absalom, his favorite son. He has risen up against him. David winds up losing almost all of his friends. He loses his home. He loses his wives. He loses his possessions. He has lost the hearts of the people of the nation of Israel, and he's paying a heavy price here for it. So this is the trial that we see in verses 1 and 2. Now the trust in verse 3, David makes it clear, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me." We see that David is trusting in God to be his shield. He's trusting in Yahweh, the personal name for God. Again, it clues us in that David has a relationship with God, and he is trusting in his shield. Now, a shield is an object typically, you know, we would raise up and put between us and the enemy to help protect us. And I like how some of the other translations say, "You are a shield about me, around me." And David is saying, "God, you completely encircle me and protect me from all sides. No matter what comes at me, from the front, from the side, from the rear, or wherever, God, you are my shield." And this whole idea of God being a shield is spelled out many times in Scripture. But you can look at Psalm 28:7, Psalm 33:20, Psalm 84:11, for example. So basically, David, I think, is saying here, nothing can harm me because God is on my side. God is my protector, in other words. So God is David's shield. God is David's glory. We see there in those verses in verse 3. And that God is the one who lifts up his head as well in verse 3. Again, I'm trying to be kind of quick on these little devotionals. But because David has this trust based upon his testimony. And notice in verse 4, he says, I cried to the Lord. Notice that's past tense for one thing. David is talking about something that's happened in the past, that how he has cried unto the Lord and God forgave him. It has to do with the past relationship. Again, Psalm 50 verse 15 talks about, call unto me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. We see this idea again of calling or crying out unto the Lord repeated numerous times in scripture. Elijah cries out to God. Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah, and so many others, all scripture tells us that they cried out to the Lord. So this is something that he's done, and because he has cried out to the Lord, he knows that his sins are forgiven. So that's his testimony. And then in verse 5, we see the triumph. I lay down and I slept. David was actually able to sleep. Can you imagine this? You've got a whole army being led by your son, trying to kill you, and David is fleeing for his life, sleeping on the ground, evidently, or maybe in a cave or something like that. And he is able at some point to fall asleep and wake up refreshed. And that's what we see in verse 5. I kind of wrote out, again, in the margin of my Bible there in verse 5 and 7 and 8. I put, his triumph pertains to sleeping. He's able to sleep. God sustains him. So I'll use some S words here. So he sleeps. He's sustained. He becomes stout-hearted. It says that he is unafraid, and that he is saved. That is over in verse 7, I guess, where it says God has struck the enemies, his enemies, on the cheekbone and broken their teeth. And then at the very end, verse 8, I believe David is singing a song, if you will. Salvation belongs to the Lord. He's praising God, or singing his praises there in verse 8. Again, trying to be quick, but this is just a rich psalm that talks about how to have triumph in times of trouble. And I believe that David was confident in God, not himself. And because he was confident in God, and he knew God, he knew God's character, David could lay down, sleep, rest, and know that the final outcome was sure, because God was his shield. So again, proposition, kind of rephrasing it just slightly, you can triumph in trials if you have a testimony or a relationship with God and you trust in God. Do you trust in God? If you could leave me a note or send me a message, I would appreciate it. One way or another, to say, yes, Brother Joe, I have trusted God. God is my shield. Or if you'd like for me to pray for you, you're going through a difficult time, you might say, Brother Joe, pray for me. I'm going through a difficult time. Help. Pray that I will trust God in this situation. I do have a relationship with him, but I need rest. And I need to be reminded that God is my shield. Would you send me a note like that? And if you never trusted God, never been born again, why don't you do that here today?